Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for joining this broadcast today. We're looking for your dialogue and input, your discussion on the very serious issues that we'll be talking about today. It is my prayer and desire to see you participate. This program, this broadcast, Let's Face the Issues, designed around you, our listener, with the format basically on a Q&A, question and answer, that you can call in. And let me remind you that telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. We'd love to have your participation today. We're going to be talking about the real threat to America, the real threat to America. And let me say at the top of this broadcast, the real threat to America is not the coronavirus. Howbeit, I'll have an elongated monologue talking about the coronavirus to lead into the essence of what I'm wanting to say today. That which I'm wanting us to understand today is the real issue, the real threat, the real focus ought not to be on the coronavirus. That's not the thing that will destroy the foundations of our great nation. The coronavirus will not destroy America, but there are a whole host of other things that's demonically inspired, that's threatening the faith, the family, the future of America. We'll talk about those things today. Before we get into it, let me just say, bring up a little point that I find fascinating. Someone posted on Facebook today. Let me read it to you. I think it says it all. It says it a little more poignantly and in a fun fashion than I would have ever thought of. This article is posted on Facebook, says, due to the coronavirus, the polls will remain closed and the election is canceled. Trump will remain president for the next 4 years. Watch how quickly the epidemic is over, end quote. I think that speaks volumes as to what we're really seeing taking place in America today, ladies and gentlemen, with the panic, the what is called the existential threat to our nation, and the panic that it is bringing about. As we face the issues, ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you that we do so based on the authority of Scripture. I find it antithetical to anything that's called biblical truth, especially if it is a Christian that tries to base their argument, their premise in facing issues based on anything other than the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. God's word has the answer. God's word gives us the direction. It's the illumination, the lamp for our pathway and for our feet as we move each and every day. Not some political, ideological bent. Our issues as we're faced with them, we ought not to try to ascertain or determine what we're to do based on a denominational dogma, including its rites and rituals and rules and regulations, and that permeates much of society today. But we ought to make decisions, ladies and gentlemen, and face the issues based on the Word of God. The Word of God is truth. Jesus said to his disciples in John 8:31 and 32, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And then Jesus said in John 14:6, I am truth. And he tops that off, ladies and gentlemen. I think it's a fascinating, stimulating, encouraging, challenging text. John 17:17, with the Lord Jesus himself said, thy word is truth. And so, ladies and gentlemen, I commend to you a central biblicist worldview, a central biblicist worldview. That is What does the Bible say? The Word of God, the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God, should be the first, foremost, and final authority in all that we say and do. I commend the Scripture to you to understand it, to inculcate it in your life, to utilize it as a direction when we're faced with things like the coronavirus today, of which we'll be talking about extensively, to make the transition into what I call the real problem, the real threat, the absolute threat to the foundation of our nation. And it's not the coronavirus. But ladies and gentlemen, as we face the truth, let me remind you that many people are avoiding the truth and reject the truth, especially right now with the coronavirus, for example, in D.C., Nancy Pelosi and the squad, they're using it as a political tool to try to get some things embedded and codified in legislation to give them the opportunity to plunder the taxpayers' purses even more deeply. But when we think about truth, ladies and gentlemen, it was George Orwell a number of years ago that said the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. And that's what we're seeing in our nation today. I'm saddened to say, even when it comes to the coronavirus, we're not hearing full truth. We're not hearing partial truth. In fact, I think much of what is taking place today is a fabricated panic button in order to get the desired legislation passed. It's the old magician's trick, ladies and gentlemen. Don't see what I'm doing in my left hand, just watch the right hand. Truth ought to be what we're seeking and what we desire. In fact, it's the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus, that made a dogmatic statement about truth. He said, faithful Christians, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth, even to death. And may I commend that to us today, ladies and gentlemen. Defend the truth. Stand on the truth. Do not vacillate when faced with some dogmatic opposition to the truth. Ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape and lawn care business. Tools for Time carries equipment for the homeowner in brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the professional landscape equipment as well as the homeowner's equipment. Tools for Time also carries hurricane preparedness equipment, a full line of Honda generators and a knowledgeable staff that can answer all your questions about the power equipment and the backup generation equipment that is sold there. Tools for Time, located at 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. Tools for Time, 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. That's right at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. It's where Old Glory flies 24/7. Find the flag, the U.S. flag, 165-foot pole flying over the Tools for Time location. The base of that flagpole, you'll find Tools for Time, toolsfortime.com, toolsfortime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm looking at a headline here that says, nothing about the coronavirus remotely approaches any metric for something we should be terrified of. Yet the stock market is crashing, oil prices are dropping, panicked customers picking the grocery store shelves bare as hoarding begins. It's a real virus, but it's also a false flag, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, I understand that the stock market is still plummeting. It has done so for several days. It'll bounce back for a few hours or a day, half a day, and then it plummets again. There are a lot of folks, ladies and gentlemen, that's losing around the globe as the stock market drops 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 points. We're looking at trillions and trillions of dollars being lost as a result of this panic that's taking place in America today. The reality and the danger and the risk and the harm of the coronavirus becomes more evident, though, every day, ladies and gentlemen, as you watch the pundits on the news. Every 24 hours, you're watching every channel without any exception. Every channel today, ladies and gentlemen, you can't turn it on without hearing some new view or some new information, some nuance. I believe they've taken the coronavirus aspect and the what they're calling the existential threat and causing panic with it. And they're interviewing doctors from every background on the television broadcast. They're straining the coronavirus virus with a sieve trying to come up with every question, every alternative question, every deviation from what you and I would call facts, to try to spin up and churn up further panic in America. There is, ladies and gentlemen, there is, without exception, a motive to what they're doing. The modus operandi that's being used today is absolutely designed to absolutely torpedo, destroy President Donald J. Trump's reelection campaign. It is designed to listen, I'm not saying the coronavirus is not real. I'm not saying that it's not a threat to human life. I'm not saying the coronavirus ought to be simply ignored. But I am telling you, ladies and gentlemen, that I believe it's an absolute threat to the reelection of President Donald J. Trump. Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer are not wasting a moment in their time to do everything possible to cause the general public to look at it with a jaundiced eye that somehow, some way, President Trump has caused this outbreak of the coronavirus. By the way, China is now distancing itself from the coronavirus, saying that it did not originate in China. They are destroying any evidence of the ground zero of where the coronavirus started. And now the thing that is simply astounding to me, they're saying, no, it didn't start here. It started in some communist country. It didn't start in China. But ladies and gentlemen, listen very carefully. Every doctor, every expert, every politician that can be put given a microphone, they're being interviewed, and the drumbeat of doom, doom, doom continues louder and louder. Now, I don't know if you are listening with a open mind. I don't know if you're listening today, understanding what I'm trying to get us to understand and what I am saying and the point that I want to make. The drumbeat is today on every news outlet that America is doomed, we're all going to die, and that it's because of the coronavirus, and somehow, some way, President Trump is the cause and effect of it. Ladies and gentlemen, today we understand that on a global level, there's been about, and I'm using loose figures because every 24 hours it changes, there's been about 3,000 deaths on a global basis and some 300,000 infected on a global basis. One news outlet said about 400,000. I don't know. I think each news station, each news outlet, beginning to believe somehow, some way, they may be fabricating their figures, inflating their figures. But nevertheless, that's just my belief. In America, ladies and gentlemen, we now have the outbreak in almost all of the all the states in America. I believe there's some 8 or 10 states where you do not have at least one case. There are over 1,000 cases and at least 28 dead in America. Now, listen very carefully, ladies and gentlemen. The flu season, so far the flu season has killed about 20,000 Americans this season. About 20,000. Now, do you hear anybody being interviewed on television, on the fake, phony, false communist network news? Do you hear anybody talking about with any sense of alarm of the number of lives that have been taken by the flu this season? I believe last year it was some 46,000 that died by way of the flu virus. We're not hearing anything about that. But we've got 28 deaths in America, and all of a sudden it's the end of the world. It's doom and gloom. It's panic button, panic button, panic button on every level. And I don't know about you, but I'm greatly bothered by it. I see what's happening. I understand the rationale behind the Nancy Pelosi and the Socialist, Marxist, Communist, Democratic Party. Bernie Sanders is not the only communist that's in America today. We have a whole host of those in the Socialist, Marxist, Communist Party called Democrats that are wanting to destroy the foundation of America. We'll talk about that later in this broadcast. Ladies and gentlemen, we are dealing with a real threat. Yes, the coronavirus is a real threat. It's a threat to the health and the well-being and the very commerce of our great nation. Let me just give you a few bullet points to affirm and revisit what we're talking about with the coronavirus and what it's doing. And may I simply put this little footnote to that statement? I believe 95% of the negative fallout of the coronavirus is ginned up because of the fake, phony, false media that's causing panic in the marketplace and causing destruction in the economic warp and woof of our society. The stock market continues to plummet today, continues to plummet. I think it is now ranging somewhere in the neighborhood of 20,000. And just 30 days ago, it was at about 29,000 something. Now, let me just simply insert this little young blood philosophy. I believe for the past 5 or 6 years, we've had about 50% of the stock market is pure hot air. At some point, somehow, there needs to be a regulation of that and let the air out of the balloon. But nevertheless, we're watching trillions upon trillions of dollars on a global basis being cast off and burned in the fire, as it were, as a result of the panic and the doom and gloom that's being aired 24/7. I said just recently, if you can somehow, some way shut the news media down for 24 hours, we'd stop the panic. We would stop the doom and gloom mantra that's on the airwaves. But ladies and gentlemen, we're watching the stock market plummet. The transportation industry has absolutely been crippled. I mean crippled. The Princess Cruises just announced that they're going to not do any cruises for the next 60 days. In fact, the others that have not announced that, they're teetering on the very brink of bankruptcy as an industry. And it's all because of the doom and gloom, the panic that's being publicized and monetized by the false, fake, folk, phony media. Colleges and universities are closing their doors. In fact, Harvard University just ordered all of its students to evacuate their dorms, leave the dorms, go home, stay for the balance of the semester, telling the students the dorms will be closed. In fact, as of this Sunday at 5 o'clock, the dorms are to be all emptied, vacated at Harvard University, sending them home. They're going to do online studies. In fact, it's causing Harvard's move and others like that, causing a sweep across America, ladies and gentlemen, with our colleges and universities, public and private colleges and universities, schools across America today. I'm talking about elementary schools and high schools, general educational schools in America, the governmentally controlled schools, are closing their doors. Some saying it'll be for a week, some saying 2 weeks, some saying 30 days, some saying we don't know how long. Now, I understand there's a need for us to have safety precautions. I do understand the contagion that is in the coronavirus that can cause it to spread easily in close contact. But I think we're watching panic set in. And as a result of the panic and the doom and gloom mentality, I believe we're watching actions and reactions that otherwise would not be taken. Listen very carefully. The flu in general is highly contagious. We've not closed any schools because of flu, other than occasionally, and the years gone by where there might be a school that will have to let the students out for 2 or 3 days, et cetera, because someone or two or three or several have come down with the flu. That's a normal safety precaution. But, ladies and gentlemen, what I'm talking about is panic. Panic. And I'm asking the question today, ladies and gentlemen, the real threat to America. What is the real threat to America? Is there a real threat to America? I'm talking about the future of America, the foundation of America, the future tense of the commerce in America. Is there a greater threat than what we're watching today with the coronavirus? And I say yes. And in this broadcast, we're going to talk about it. Ladies and gentlemen, you're tuned in to Let's Face the Issues. This is Dr. Youngblood. The telephone number you can call is 831-0917. I'd love to hear your insights, your thoughts. I would love to hear your opinion on what you see taking place. Is it real? Is all of this a red flag? Is it fabricated? I'm not talking about the virus itself. No. I'm not saying it's a fabricated virus. I'm asking the question, do you think that the fanfare, the absolute blowing up the television sets and the news media by way of the doom and gloom mantra, do you believe that that's real? Do you believe that we ought to be that alarmed? Do you believe that we ought to be panic-stricken as citizens in America today as a result of the coronavirus? We've had about 28 deaths in America thus far, unless someone else died overnight. You can take just one death, and that's the top of the hour news on every broadcast. Yet we have far more deaths every day. Just in Chicago, overnight, each night, we have more deaths than we have in a month's time, or we've had thus far in the total time of the coronavirus. You don't hear anybody talking about it. You don't hear Nancy Pelosi and the others talking about that. You don't hear Nancy Pelosi and the others talking about the 60-some-odd thousand homeless in San Francisco that's defecating on the streets, that's destroying the health and the welfare and the well-being of the tax-paying citizens in that city. You don't hear anything about that. We're not hearing anything about the major, major, major undermining of our Constitution and the Bill of Rights as being fundamentally, foundationally destructive for our nation. But we are hearing a whole lot about the coronavirus. You know, it was said by some Democrat not too long ago, don't ever let a good crisis go to waste. And that's exactly what they've grabbed hold to, especially in an election year, especially when it seems that there's no hope for the Socialist, Marxist, Communist, Democratic Party to elect a candidate. And as a result of that, this is the smokescreen to try to destroy the economy, to thus try to destroy the reelection potentiality for Donald J. Trump. Ladies and gentlemen, we're watching the stock market plummet. We're watching the transportation industry crippled. We're watching the colleges and universities close their doors and vacate the dormitories. We're watching sports events of enormous size cancel. I understand some of the basketball games are going to be played with an empty coliseum, an empty audience, because of the fear, the panic of the coronavirus. Some churches, ladies and gentlemen, are closing and going online for their services. Here's an article that says churches are closing its doors, live streaming services for the congregation so that they can avoid the coronavirus. With the number of coronavirus cases on the rise, the pastor and his wife held church at home last Sunday. They said they'd called their family, and they're going to stream the worship services for the kids. The family also sang songs to the music that was on YouTube before praying together. Quote, we've never done this, anything like this before, the pastor said. We're trying to recreate the structure of a typical church service, Sunday service, because it's become part of our weekly cadence. Thankfully, technology has helped us to do so. Now, ladies and gentlemen, there might come a time when that's necessary. I don't know what God has in store. I personally believe that as the weather breaks, as we see warm weather coming on the scene on a national level, I believe we'll see it tamping down. We're already finding the statistical data, the numbers coming out of China, it's leveled off, it's plateaued, and now it is decreasing in the number of those that are catching the virus, getting ill by the virus, and or the deaths in China alone. We're watching the numbers go down. I think it'll peak, I think it'll tamp down, and I think it'll recede dramatically over the next 30 days at the very most, if not less time than that. But what I'm talking about, ladies and gentlemen, in my elongated monologue, leading into the major discussion of what the real threat to America is. The real threat to America is not the coronavirus. The coronavirus cannot destroy the foundation of America. The coronavirus cannot destroy the future of America. The coronavirus cannot destroy our Bill of Rights and our Constitution, and yet we have some factors at hand that can destroy, in fact, or as I speak, crumbling away, destroying the foundation of our great nation. Ladies and gentlemen, major shopping centers are being crippled today. I had the opportunity to watch some live video footage where an individual was walking through the corridors of a major, major shopping mall, and it was at peak business hours, and very few, if any, people could be seen. We're watching the absolute destruction of the economic foundation in our nation today because of the hyping and the doom and gloom being presented on 24/7 on our news media simply because of the coronavirus. And again, may I remind you, ladies and gentlemen, thus far, as of last week, 20,000 people had died in America because of the regular flu, the seasonal flu, some 46,000, I believe it was, last year in America. I believe on a global basis, some 400,000, one news reel said 500,000 people died last year globally because of the flu. And yet we're not excited about that, not worried about that. You don't hear any media come up with a name and a date and a place and a person and a city, and they highlight it, they profile it, and they show it where that person has died from the regular flu. We're talking about, ladies and gentlemen, a pandemic as a result of the panic that's being set in and brought about by the global media. In particular, ladies and gentlemen, I believe the American media. We're looking at hotels and motels and convention centers laying off workers and cutting services due to the lack of business because of the fright of the coronavirus. Ladies and gentlemen, we're watching the panic set in. And I believe, ladies and gentlemen, fear and panic is the order of the day. When you hear doom and gloom 24/7 on the television, there's a natural nature of humanity to be panic-stricken. Ladies and gentlemen, here's an article that should cause us to sit up and take notice. And I say this because of what it portends and what it points to as the potentiality for our nation. Seattle area officials poised to order involuntary isolation and quarantine. In fact, they've already made the order. In the Seattle area, they're isolating and quarantining entire segments of the city. The article says, with Seattle area public health officials poised to order involuntary isolation and cancel major public events, the Washington State Department of Health has issued a chart with 5 threat response levels. And they go into the level 1, level 2, level 3, level 4, level 5. But ladies and gentlemen, in the state of Washington, they've already issued an edict, a governor's order, that in the state of Washington, you cannot have a meeting that is a social meeting, a political meeting, a religious meeting, a meeting of any type, sports meeting, or anything else, where 250 would be as many as 250 or more people present. Now, listen very carefully. By fiat, the governor of the state of Washington just said that if your church, let's use as an example, and that's what I'm concerned about, that if your church can house or has an average attendance of more than 250 people, you can no longer have public services on Sunday morning, Sunday night, or Wednesday night. I don't know about you, but that's a wild, wild way out order, I believe. And when the order was given, I watched as the governor was reciting it. And he said, even religious, and then he said, religious and spiritual services. We're watching at the fiat of government being able to cancel religious services, cancel religious preaching and teaching, spiritual services, closing the church's doors. Now, I say that dogmatically, because if they can do that over a coronavirus, at what point in time do we as Christians, we as citizens, at what point in time do we the people, stand up and say, you're not going to dictate to us when we can have services, what we can do in services. Now, listen very carefully. As a little caveat to that statement, there may be a day, there may be a time in any of our churches across America where if there is a serious outbreak, it may be wise to say, we're going to discontinue services for this week or next week or a couple of weeks, but not because of governmental intervention in shutting the church doors. Therein is where I draw a very strict line, ladies and gentlemen. It is something that we ought to be concerned about. Here's another article that says New York sets up coronavirus containment zone, and they're deploying the National Guard. In New Rochelle, New York, they're setting up a one-mile circle around that city. They have imported the National Guard. They claim that it's not to keep people in, to keep people out, but they've put the National Guard every street. They're claiming they're going to use them to help disperse food. But they have the National Guard in full uniform, geared up, armed up, and that says to the general public in that part of the state of New York that you can't come and go unless we allow it. Ladies and gentlemen, there's a danger there. We're going to talk further about this danger. We're going to talk further about the real threat to America after our top of the hour news. We're going to take a 1-minute break. Hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.